Welcome to the July and August issue of the AES Journal podcast. I'm Kyle P. Snyder. In this month's issue, we both look back to our May convention and look forward to the 137th convention, which takes place in Los Angeles from the 9th to the 12th of October. In case you didn't make it to Berlin for the 136th, we have a full report in this issue that will give you a taste of all that happened in both words and pictures. To whet the appetite for the many exciting audio treats in store for those going to Los Angeles in the fall, we present a double-page preview of the 137th convention along with a full review of those companies exhibiting. Prior to that, however, we bring you five research papers, including two on spatial audio, two on modeling and filter design, and one on speech transmission. Tapani Filiamäki and his colleagues from Finland look into how virtual sources can be given greater spatial extent or size. They explain that auditory displays, often driven by non-auditory data, present sound scenes to a listener, but the scene becomes richer if sonic objects can be made to occupy a certain volume of that space. Previous research, using directional audio coding, shows how such a spatial extent can be synthesized from monophonic sources, but the size and timbre are not always stable. It's suggested here that volumetric coding can be optimized for most types of audio by dividing the signal into frequency bands and distributing them in space from lowest to highest bands using the Halton sequence. Results are then confirmed with listening tests. In his paper on magnitude priority filter design, Balázs Bánk points out that there are two commonly encountered ways to design IIR filters to match a target response. The first aims to match the magnitude phase response, whereas the second aims to minimize the magnitude error while ignoring the phase response. In his method presented here, Bánk describes a third approach that merges the two methods. Essentially, the algorithm attempts the first approach, but resorts to the second if that's not possible. He says that the magnitude priority method makes no assumptions about the core filter design algorithm, so it can be combined with any technique that attempts to match the complex transfer function or impulse response. Lorenzo Morales and his colleagues continue this month's papers with their study of the Speech Transmission Index, or STI. In particular, they attempt to verify the current STI standard for English male speech under reverberant conditions using both real-life and headphone-based listening. They find that speech intelligibility is generally poorer than indicated by the standard curve, and that headphone listening results in poorer results than real-life listening. Moving on, we hear from Pascal Brunet and Bahram Shafei about the identification of loudspeakers using fractional derivatives. The identification they speak of is relevant to the modeling of loudspeakers in digital filters that are designed to improve the sound from small drivers operating at high levels. This needs both the linear and nonlinear characteristics of the loudspeaker to be modeled, and they attempt to reduce the complexity of the task by cascading two parts of the process. First, there is the motor that transforms the audio input into a displacement. Then, there is the part that transforms the displacement into an acoustic wave. Their results suggest that a fractional order approach can be used to model and identify the electrical impedance of the motor, resulting in a lower fitting error and a smaller order compared to the traditional integer order approach. Finally, Juha Vilkomo and his colleagues describe a means of reducing the effects of comb filtering in multi-channel downmixing. It's done using an adaptive downmixing technique, which aligns the phases of input channel pairs or groups that have a high degree of coherence. Using simulations and listening tests, they show situations in which the proposed method offers improvements over legacy methods. They also find that the approach can be implemented with a modest amount of computing power for a large number of channels. In this month's standards news, there's a discussion of the roadmap for AES standards by Bruce Olson, inviting proposals for the next few years of work in light of the profound changes that have affected the audio industry in recent years. There are also reports from the working groups on audio connectors and metadata. Francis Rumsey's feature article lifts the lid on the wonderful world of vinyl record mastering, based on a workshop held at a recent AES convention. We learn how vinyl sales have been going through the roof in recent years, requiring the resurrection or relearning of old skills by those working in audio mastering. Getting the most out of a vinyl disc needs experience and skill, and clients need to be educated about the process. Continuing our new series of soundboard opinion columns, Danish consultant Eddie Brixen bangs the drum about sound level measurements at live concerts, showing how legislation designed to control the maximum level is having the effect of creating excessive amounts of bass. In some cases, he has measured levels in the 63 Hz octave band that exceeded those in the rest of the spectrum by more than 15 decibels. Something must be done, he proposes. You'll find all this, plus our regular news of AES sections around the world, in the current issue of the AES Journal, available online now at www.aes.org. For the Audio Engineering Society, I'm Kyle P. Snyder. Thanks for listening.